Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Bob Hunt and Jose Barreto are back for today's episode, where they show us how to scale out a file server in Windows Server 2012 using Hyper-V. Tune in as they discuss the advancements made to file servers in terms of scale, storage, virtual processors, support for VMs per host and per cluster, as well as demoing a classic versus scaled out file server. Bob, the mic is yours.
Welcome to TechNet Radio. My name is Bob Hunt. I'm an IT pro evangelist in New York. And today we're going to talk about how to scale out a file server using Hyper-V. As I mentioned, my role as an IT pro evangelist based in New York is really to help IT professionals learn about more about Microsoft technology. And with me today, I have Jose Barreto in the Windows product group, and I'll let Jose introduce himself.
Hi there. My name is Jose Barreto, and I am a program manager with the Windows Server team, more specifically with the file server team. In this release, I've been working on the new SMB 3.0 protocol for file access and also the scenario for virtualization with file storage, or as we like to call it, Hyper-V over SMB.
Excellent. So what we have here today is a session to help IT professionals learn more about all the work that you have been doing with Windows Server 2012 in this area. So as a follow-up to our last session on Hyper-V over SMB 3.0, what today's session is covering is really how the file server is really advancing in the area of its ability to scale out. Now, a lot of the reasons behind that, or at least not a lot of, some of the reasons behind that come from Hyper-V itself. So Hyper-V is enabling a portion of the traditional file server to really grow into what's coming in Windows Server 2012. So some of these things are just straight scale improvements from Hyper-V. You want to touch on a few of those, Jose?
Oh, absolutely. There's a number of improvements in terms of scale. We support larger memory. We support more virtual processors. We support more VMs per host, and we also support more VMs per cluster. Just to give you a notion of what kind of change we're talking about here, so for instance, in terms of storage, we're now supporting VHD files of up to 64 terabytes in size with the new VHDX. That's huge. We used to be limited to two. In terms of number of VMs per host, we also go all the way up to 1,000 with the right number of cores. And also in terms of cluster size, the guys in the cluster team have been working hard to move from the limit of 16 cluster nodes per cluster all the way up to 64 cluster nodes per cluster, and they also support all the way up to 4,000 VMs in a cluster. So all these numbers are way higher than the numbers we had in our previous release, and it just shows that density now is the name of the game when we're trying to deploy these private cloud solutions, right? So you want to be able to squeeze more VMs per host and to have the ability to have more capable VMs on each host. So limitations in terms of number of virtual processors, we now have virtual NUMA on for the VMs. We have flexible memory configuration. So this is all very, very impressive. And 64 nodes per cluster is a pretty good size.
Yeah, that's a significantly improved number of nodes to kind of really spread out your file servers across your entire data center or across multiple data centers for that matter. So that's those are significant changes, and we've been talking about a lot of those changes on the Hyper-V side of things for quite some time, and we're almost ready to release as we record this. So I guess a lot of these changes have really enabled the file server now to really take a look at the way that it's been doing file serving traditionally, and now you've really taken a fairly major step in re-architecting the way the file server is able to really spread itself out, essentially spread the workload across the cluster. So this is something that is entirely different than what we've done in the past, where, have mentioned to me previously, one of the things that's different here is that you've got lots of file servers doing the load across a cluster as opposed to just a single node. So do you want to touch on that?
Sure. Yeah. One of the things, first of all, storing virtualization related files, live VHDs on files server is new. And with that comes our need to scale. So if you're using a file server cluster to support this large Hyper-V cluster, you need to be able to scale. And we can scale up. So we have shown like a single file server giving you multiple gigabytes a second performance per single node. But part of the problem here is as you scale, you want to be able to have multiple nodes on a file server cluster servicing you. So for instance, let's say you go with 10 gigabit networking, right? So let's say you have two 10 gig networking cards per file server. So each file server can give you up to 20 gigabits a second. But if you have multiple file servers, you can combine that throughput if you have supporting storage throughput in the back of that file server cluster. And what we're talking about here is in the past, if you had a file server cluster, you usually had a two-node file server cluster. One node would be working and servicing the shares for you. The other node would be pretty much passive, waiting for the first one to fail to just take over, which is important, but lots of folks will say, oh no, I want to keep both busy. I want to actually hit them both at the same time. And in the past, we didn't have this capability on a single share. What we would ask people to do is say, okay, so you create one share with one volume that lives on one node, and you have another share on another volume that lives on the other node. So while that works, it's more complex to manage. And imagine if you had four nodes or eight nodes, it gets more complicated. So what we did in this release was we leveraged the cluster ability to do what we call cluster shared volumes. And now if you have a folder that has or a volume that you're using for the share, essentially with CSV, that shows up in every node. And now we can place a file share on a cluster shared volume, making that share appear in every node of the cluster. So let's say, for instance, you have a 64-node Hyper-V cluster, and you have a 4-node file server cluster. So what you do is you say, okay, everyone in this Hyper-V cluster use that storage over there, and all file server nodes, all four, would be engaged in that. So out of the 64, you could split that so that every 16 nodes is hitting one of the file server nodes, and you can balance that out. So if you remember that analogy of having 20 gigs of throughput per file server, this cluster would have an aggregate 80 gigabits per second throughput. And of course, that's not the limit. We have done faster networking for file servers. We also can go all the way up to eight file server nodes in a scale-out cluster. So we're talking a lot of capability. If you have the right storage, you can have a really beefy storage solution through file storage.
Wow, that's a lot of significant change on the file server side of things. You guys have certainly been busy. Now, a couple times in that description, you mentioned supported storage, right? So things essentially that are what I would call requirements for the back end to enable this. So can you talk a little bit about what the supported storage requirements are to enable something like what you just mentioned?
Yeah, so we need storage, shared storage behind the file server cluster. In this release, we're very excited about one of these, which is shared SAS. So what you can do now, in the past, in order to have the back end for the file server, you would need some sort of iSCSI or fiber channel storage. But in this release, we have introduced the notion of supporting shared SAS using a new technology in Windows Server 2012 called Storage Spaces. You can still have an iSCSI or a fiber channel backend, and I've seen some partners that do that. So they have a few hundred Hyper-V hosts and a SAN in the back, and instead of wiring everything through fiber channel, they use the file server as a gateway where the fiber goes to the file server nodes, and then from the file nodes forward, you have all Ethernet networking, so regular networking. But the really interesting scenario is when you have just a bunch of disks, so a JBOD, connected through SAS to all the file servers. So let's say, for instance, you have a two-node file server cluster, you get a JBOD, and you wire that storage to both nodes. And through the use of storage spaces, you can actually just have the disks managed directly by Windows and by Failover Cluster with the use of spaces. And you have all the capabilities that you would expect from high-end storage like thin provisioning. Through CSV, we can have caching of that storage. We can have that storage being mirrored. You have the fault tolerance piece. You can have all these different capabilities available to you as you create this file storage solution. So essentially, you can get two file servers, a JBOD, and SAS cabling in the back, and that makes your solution for a file server. And SAS right now is using 6 gigabits per second, and you can have multiple lanes, so 4 lanes, or you can have dual attached SAS, so you can get some good throughput out of that as well. So that is one of the more exciting capabilities there when you try to build a system that is entirely based on Windows storage capabilities.
Wow, that's a big deal for, you know, for the companies that are looking to essentially enable inexpensive storage but are typically limited on the high end in terms of their ability to really present it out and leverage it. You know, this is a significant change, right? So essentially you could have just, you know, call it a, you know, a white box set of disks really delivering enterprise capabilities at a fraction of the cost, you know, of an iSCSI or fiber channel connected solution.
Yeah, and the other thing that we did is, even though we think that having just SAS connectivity is an easy thing and that JBODs are something that people can easily find out there, one of the things that we did is work with our OEM partners so that you don't have to kind of do this wiring and this configuration of the hardware yourself. So we have this new concept called the cluster in a box where people can actually get the two file servers, the JBOD storage, SAS cabling being all internal. So essentially you can buy a single piece of metal that inside it has all the capabilities that you need. So yeah, from that standpoint, you can get a two node scale out file server pre-configured from your favorite OEM. So we're working with them so that you can get this kind of capability. Because what we have become known in Windows and more specifically in file servers for Windows is the simplicity that there is there in creating those solutions. And when you have to bring in the hardware as well, some people might be, you know, overwhelmed by, you know, dual SAS connectivity and how to wire this. So this makes it further simplified so that you can have a simple out-of-the-box experience when you buy these cluster solutions.
That's fantastic. Cluster in a box is back. No, that's great. I worked with several of those back at the, shall we say, the turn of the millennium when they were last big, and then because of the specialized support storage needs in the new millennium, they kind of fallen off the radar. But they are back and inexpensive, and it sounds like it's, you know, really going to be enabled with these changes with Windows Server on the file server side of things. That's great.
Yeah. The other thing that we see is that when you go scale out, essentially, you remove one of the main stress factors when you're failing over. So in the traditional, or as we call a classic file server, when you had a file server servicing a share and you needed to fail over, that volume was mounted on that file share. So we actually had to dismount that volume, or if it failed, we had to arbitrate that volume to another node, then bring that volume up, which is an expensive operation, right? You have to online the volume and do the little check there, and then you can start serving files again on the surviving node. With scale-out, because we're relying on CSV, that volume is mounted in all nodes at the same time. So if one node goes out, the process of starting to use that share on another node is a sub-second operation. So we have much faster failovers as well. And we can even, with the new transparent failover ability, when you're in a scale-out cluster, let's say, for instance, you have 4 nodes, and then you say, oh, I have more clients on one node than the other, I want to move them over, you have a simple PowerShell that you can say, I want to move this client to that node. And you can do that with the workload running. So this is a very interesting scenario. And you can imagine now how that can enable patching of a file server cluster now. So we have this new capability now called ClusterWare Updating, where you can go and update, apply patches essentially to a cluster. So if you have 4 nodes, what this combined capability can give you is that you go to the first node, you evacuate all connections to the other nodes, you just move them online, no downtime for the clients. Then you patch that first node. Then when it's done and complete, you can start evacuating the second node, and you can reuse that first one, and you go across the cluster. And this is all automated. So there's a GUI for that. There's also PowerShell. But essentially, because we now have these volumes available in multiple places, we can now play with that load, move it around, and even do online patching of an entire cluster with no downtime and no stress, really.
That's fantastic. So it's essentially one of the big benefits that I've always talked about on the clustering side of things, that, hey, you can really do patching now, you know, during the day. Not that you'd want to, but you've got the ability to do that in more reasonable hours. So it's like, hey, if there is a light workload, you know, you're impacting less users. But it sounds to me like with these changes, you're not going to see any impact, you know, when Patch Tuesday comes.
Yeah, and this is done on the file server side. We can certainly do that in Hyper-V as well, because now we can do the live migration piece, right? So you can patch your Hyper-V cluster, you can live migrate your VMs off of that, do the patching, move along, right? And that's the whole notion of the private cloud, is you have this infrastructure that's very resilient, and we talk a lot about continuous availability, which is the notion that you can lose a node, or you can do maintenance on a node, or you can do hardware installation on a node, and you have enough redundancy in the system so that you can do that easily. And by creating this new scale-out mode, you essentially create an extra simplicity in the process of moving things around. So it's really very straightforward to balance load, to move load, and in credit to the cluster team, because this is in great part enabled by the fact that we have cluster shared volumes. So that gives us this essentially this clustered file system that allows us to have a set of machines that see the same volumes, and they can all access same volumes at the same time. We just do that through SMB. We pipe that through SMB.
That's great. So it sounds like the operations managers and the data centers are really going to love this. That's great. So I think probably it makes sense for us to show our viewers what this really looks like. So you have a demo for us, Jose?
Yeah. So let's take a look a little bit, compare and contrast the classic file server and the scale-out file server. All right, so let's take a look here at this demo configuration. So you can see that I have my two file server nodes in a cluster. I have some storage, and I have some networking. Now, I wanted to compare and contrast what we call the traditional or classic file server with our new scale-out file server. So here you see the classic one. So we have a name and specific IP addresses assigned for this to this file server cluster resource, cluster group. And then we give it a name, and then we give it some storage. So this volume here, volume I, and I have another one here, which is J, these are disks that are specifically mounted on the owner node, in this case FS2, and they can only be accessed from this one. If I fail over this cluster from one side to the next, what you're going to see is as I move this to another node, you actually have to offline all the resources, and then you have to online them on the other side, which is, again, an operation that requires you to take the volume offline and then bring it online on the other end. Now, when you look at the scale-out file server cluster, what we have here is the ability to essentially have a cluster shared volume function as the back end for your file server. This gives you a number of things. First of all, you see there are no IP address resources here. There are no disk resources here. I essentially only have something called the distributed server name and the scale-out resource that has a name on it. So essentially what we're doing here is we're creating a much simpler model where instead of using IP addresses for this resource that moves back and forth, we're using the actual cluster nodes IP addresses for the name, and then we create this name that essentially is a combination of all the nodes in the cluster. For storage, we actually use our cluster shared volume. So you see these two disks here on this view. You see these two are the disks that I use in my classic cluster. This one here is actually my cluster shared volume. So if you look at how these resources are created, so if I go here to my shares tab, you will see that the path to the shares that I created is actually under cluster storage. So if you're familiar with CSV, that's exactly how we do it. We use the CSV volume to create our file shares. So that's the more flexible solution. And you will see that if I want to, move resources, it's actually an instant operation because essentially you just already available in all cluster nodes. This move essentially does nothing. What you can do is just basically move clients. That would make more sense than moving the owner node, because in effect we have this resource in all nodes of the cluster. Now I just wanted to show you one last thing, which is when you're configuring your file server. So if you're familiar with the high availability wizard, you will move over here. And when you select the file server, you will now see a new option that essentially explains the two options that you have. One is our classic server, which is here called file server for general use. And this other option here would be the scale-out file server. Just a caveat, when you're doing the scale-out file server, you will be using this specifically for application servers like Hyper-V and SQL, because there are some capabilities that are not available through the scale-out file server. So for instance, if you're doing quota management or using DFS replication, these are not available in the scale-out file server in this release. So we recommend the use of the scale-out file server for application servers because we have different ways to manage replications, for instance with Hyper-V Replica, and to manage quotas since we have the abstraction in the VHD file itself where you can have a limit and you can have the management of quotas that way. So in short, you now have two different options, the classic file server and the scale-out file server, and we recommend the scale-out option for server applications in Windows Server 2012.
Wow, that's a lot of information, Jose. This is fantastic. A lot of information there for folks that are new to this, which is going to be everybody. There's probably a good place to refer to essentially go through this themselves. Probably a good place to do that would be your blog. You've recently referenced, you posted a step-by-step on how to go through this, correct?
Yes, so I have two different versions. One blog post that's a step-by-step using SQL Server as an application accessing a scale-out file server. So that one I did using a single machine. So essentially you have a machine, you set up four VMs, and you can have the whole thing in one physical machine, but you can try it out. It uses all the steps in both PowerShell and GUI. It's a long post, I think it's like 38 pages or something. The other one is a Hyper-V over SMB blog post. That one is more concise. It uses five physical machines because you can't virtualize virtualization, right? So that uses five computers, and it has all the steps to configure all of them, and it creates both a classic and a scale-out file server. So step-by-step instructions, a lot of PowerShell if you want to try that out. So the URL is http://smb3.info.
That's fantastic. All right, well, that's going to wrap today's session. So once again, my name is Bob Hunt. You can refer back to my blog at www.bobhunt.net. Also, IT Professional Downloads, the best place for you to get your downloads if you're an IT pro is aka.ms/fab4. That's F-A-B, the number 4. That's where my downloads are. And Jose, thank you for coming today's session, and we look forward to seeing you for the next one.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.